Hey, the subject matter of this perek is a firstborn human being, and there are two main halachic differences which this makes. One is regarding the law of pidyon haben. There is an obligation upon the father of a firstborn son to redeem that son by giving 5 sela coins to a kohen. And the second ramification is for the laws of inheritance, that a firstborn son receives a double portion. However, that which defines what a firstborn son is for the laws of pidyon haben, giving 5 sela coins to redeem the son, is different to the definition of a firstborn regarding the laws of inheritance. Because regarding the laws of inheritance, it depends upon who is the firstborn of the father. And as well as that, it has to be a child who is born alive, such that the father would mourn upon the death of that child. That's considered to be a real child, and that's what defines the firstborn son for the laws of inheritance, whereas for the laws of pidyon haben, it depends upon being peterechem, the first child to open up the womb of his mother, and so it primarily depends upon the mother, although in this case it doesn't necessarily have to be a child which is born alive. Now, the previous Mishnah listed 3 out of 4 of the categories of firstborns. This Mishnah talks about the final of those 4 categories, somebody who is not considered to halachically be a firstborn, neither for the laws of inheritance nor for the laws of pidyon haben. Yotzei dofen, a child who was born via cesarean, the womb was cut open as opposed to having a natural birth, v'habo acharav, and the son who is born after that, the next time the mother gives birth, shneim inon b'char, neither of the 2 children would have the status of a firstborn, lo lanachlo, neither for the laws of inheritance, v'lo lakoyein, nor for the laws of pidyon haben giving 5 coins to a koyein. The reason being that regarding inheritance, the Torah says that this applies when v'yoldu lo bonim, he'll give birth to sons, which implies a regular natural birth. Now, at the same time, the next child is not considered to be the firstborn, because he's not the first one. He's not the first child to be born. It's just that the first one doesn't fulfill all of the conditions in order to get that status of a firstborn. But the second child is definitely not a firstborn. And similarly, regarding pidyon haben, the first one who was born is not considered to be one who opened up the womb of the mother. Because quite the opposite, it wasn't a natural birth. There was a cesarean which opened up the mother's womb. And as well as that, the next child is also not considered to be a firstborn, since the mother's womb has already been opened up previously. Rabbi Shimon, however, argues, Rabbi Shimon says, Ahorish al-Nachla, the first one who was born via cesarean, is considered to be a firstborn for the laws of inheritance. This is still considered to be a birth, and this is the first child of the father, so he would inherit a double portion. The Hasheni, and the second child born, is considered to be a firstborn Chomish Seloim for the law of giving 5 Sela coins to a Kohen for the mitzvah of pidyon haben, because this is the first child which opened up the mother's womb. It's true that the mother's womb has been opened previously by a cesarean. However, the first child to open up the mother's womb is indeed this child, and therefore the father would be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of pidyon haben by giving 5 Sela coins to a Kohen. Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah Lebekra Ishtoi, somebody whose wife has never given birth before, V'yoldo Shnei Zechorim, and she gives birth to 2 male children, for example, twins, and it is unknown which one was born first. Nosin Chomesh Seloim LaKoyein. The father is obligated to give 5 Sela coins to a Koyein, because it doesn't matter that he doesn't know which one is the firstborn. Either way, one of them is certainly a firstborn son, and therefore he's obligated to give 5 Sela coins to a Koyein. Now the Mishnah gets a bit more complicated. What happens if Meis Echad Mehem B'Soch Shloshim Yoim, one of those 2 children die within 30 days? Now the mitzvah of pidyon haben only applies on the 30th day of the child's life. The main reason is to ascertain that indeed this is a surviving child, because if it dies earlier on than that, then we view it as if it was never really born as a child who was supposed to survive. Now we have a doubt as to whether the father is obligated at all to give 5 sela coins to a koyein, because it could be that the firstborn is the one that died. And just like any monetary obligation which is a doubt, the rule is hamotze mechaveiro olav haraya, the one who is taking the money can only take that money if he proves that he's entitled to it. But until then, out of doubt, the father is exempt, Av Potter, the father is exempt from giving the money to the Kohen. Now, if we go back to our original case, we have two sons. One of them is definitely a firstborn, but it's unknown which one. And we said that the father is certainly obligated to give 5 seller coins to a Kohen, because it doesn't matter which one is the firstborn, he's obligated anyway. What happens if Mesa Av, the father died before managing to give the 5 seller coins and to fulfill the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen, the Habonim Kayomim and the sons are alive, and they reach the age of Bar Mitzvah, and now each one of them is out of doubt, he's possibly a firstborn and obligated to redeem himself. So they themselves are certainly exempt, because once again, the Kohen cannot prove to either one of them that they are the one who owes him money. The question is, what about the inheritance which they receive from the father? There are certain types of debts which a father has that even once he dies, that debt continues and it will be taken from the inheritance. And this is really the case regarding all loans before the children have split the inheritance. Im nosno, if they gave the 5 silver coins between them, ad shelo chalku, before they split the inheritance. They took that amount of money from the inheritance and gave it to a Kohen, then nosno, they've given it, and the Kohen certainly keeps that, and because at that stage, they're still obligated to give the 5 silver seller coins. Since none of the sons have yet taken their part of the inheritance, we still view this money as being money of the father, such that the Kohen who is owed money by the father can take the money from that inheritance. However, Veim Lav, if they didn't yet give the 5 seller coins until they split the inheritance, now that inheritance money is viewed as being the full possession of the children. And therefore, Peturim, they would be exempt from giving any money to the Kohen. According to this opinion of the Mishnah, when the inheritors take their part of the inheritance, we don't view it as if retroactively from the beginning, this was the part of the inheritance which fell to them from the father. If that was the case, then in the same way as until they split the inheritance, there's a right for the Kohen to take his debt from that money, even after the son takes that inheritance. According to this opinion of the Mishnah, that's not the case. The son, when each son takes his part of the inheritance, we view it as if all of the other sons are relinquishing their share on this part of the inheritance and giving it over to him. He has the same status of somebody who bought this property, and therefore it enters fully into his possession, and it no longer has that status of money of the father, which would be bound by the debts of the father, and therefore, according to this opinion, Peturin, they would be exempt from paying the Kohen. However, Rabbi Huda says, Nischayv Nechosim, the possessions have already become obligated, as it were, because Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that we view it retroactively as if this part of the inheritance was always supposed to fall to this son, and it still has the status of somewhat the father's money, which is bound by any debts which the father himself had. Right, what happens if Zohar and Akeva, the wife of the father, the mother gave birth to 2 children, one was a male child, one was a female child, and it's unknown which one was born first. Over here, there's a doubt as to whether the father became obligated to start with at all, because it could be that the firstborn was a female, and therefore in Kana Kohen Klum, the Kohen has no claim, and the father would be exempt in that case. Mishnah Dalet, this Mishnah discusses similar variations of the case discussed in the previous Mishnah, Shtei Noshim. If somebody has 2 wives, Shalei Bikru, that neither of them have yet given birth to their firstborn, V'yoldu Shnei Zechorim, and they give birth to 2 sons. Each one gave birth to their firstborn son, Nosen Eses Loim LaKoyen. The father, their husband, is obligated to give 10 Sela coins to a Koyen in order to redeem both of his firstborn sons. Meis Echa Mehem B'Sel Shleishim Yoim. If one of the sons dies within 30 days, and the father already fulfilled the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen before the 30th day, technically he's able to, it's just that he doesn't yet know for sure that he's obligated, and therefore, Im L'Kohen Echon Nosan, if he gave the 10 Sela coins to the same Kohen, he redeemed both of his firstborn sons by giving the money to the same Kohen. In that case, Yachzalei Chamish Loim, the Kohen would need to give him back 5 Sela coins, because it emerged that he was never obligated to redeem the one of his 2 children. However, im lishnei kohanim nosan, If he gave 5 Sela coins to 2 different Kohanim, he redeemed his firstborn sons by giving money to 2 different Kohanim, then Enioch Leitzim Yodom, he's not able to claim back 5 Sela coins from either of the 2 Kohanim, because each Kohen can push the father to the other one and say that he is the one who received the redemption money of the alive firstborn. Now it's all flipped. The father is the one who's trying to take money from the Kohen, so he needs to prove that he's entitled to that money. And as long as he can't prove to either one that he needs to be the one to give him back the money, he's not able to take back any of the money. Now what happens if between his 2 wives, they give birth to Zohar and Akeva, 1 firstborn son and 1 firstborn daughter, Ishnei Zohar and Akeva, or to 2 male children, 2 sons and 1 female child, 1 daughter? The father is definitely obligated to give 5 Sela coins to redeem his firstborn son, but there is a doubt. Either we know for sure that there is not a second firstborn son, or at least there's a doubt as to whether there's a second firstborn son, and therefore, he would only need to give 5 Sela coins to a Kohen. What happens if Shtei Nekevos with Zohar? Between his 2 wives, they give birth to 2 daughters and 1 son, Oishnei Zohar Moshtei Nekevos, or 2 sons and 2 daughters, and once again it's unknown which child came from which mother. There is a possibility over here that the firstborn of either mother was a daughter. It's true that there's also a possibility of the opposite. Maybe both firstborns were the sons. But since there's a possibility that there is no obligation at all of Pidgin HaBen over here, in Kana Kohen Klum, the Kohen would not have any claim, and the father would be totally exempt from giving the Pidgin HaBen money to a Kohen. Achas Bikra, Achas Shelo Bikra. What happens if somebody has 2 wives, one of them has already given birth to their firstborn child, so this upcoming child which is going to be born will not obligate the father in Pidgin HaBen, but Achas Shelo Bikra, the other wife, has not yet given birth to her firstborn child. The older Shnei Zechorim, and they give birth to 2 sons, and they get mixed up. Nosin Chorim Shleim LaKoyein, the father's obligated to give 5 coins to a Koyein. There is definitely 1 firstborn son over here who was born. Meis Echem Emsech Shleishim Yoyim. If one of the children dies within 30 days, the Mishnah now has a copy of the previous Mishnah, really, Ha'av Potter. The father is exempt, because it could be that the firstborn son is the one that died. Meis ha'av v'abon kayomim. If the father dies, and both children are still alive, Rabbi Meir says, im nosnu ad shlecholku, if they gave the 5 Sela coins from the inheritance money before they split the inheritance, then certainly that inheritance money is certainly bound to the debts which the father had, and as such, Nosnu, they've given that money and they can't take it back. Vim lav, but if not, if they've already split the inheritance, according to the first opinion of the Mishnah, we now look at that money as being theirs fully pturin, and they are therefore exempt from giving the 5 Sela coins, because the father's obligation, monetary obligation, does not obligate them. And they themselves are certainly exempt, because each one is not certainly the firstborn. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Nischayv Nechosim, the inheritance has already become obligated. We view the part of inheritance which each child received as retroactively having always been designated for that child, and as such, it is bound to the debts, to the monetary obligations which the father had, and therefore they would not be able to take the money back, even if they gave it after they already split the inheritance. Now what happens if the 2 women gave birth to a male and female child, and they got mixed up, so only one of these children is a firstborn, and since it's a possibility that the firstborn was a daughter, and that there is therefore no obligation at all on the father, in Kana Kohen Klum, the Kohen therefore has no claim, and the father would be exempt, and all the more so if the father dies, the inheritors would be exempt from paying any money to the Kohen. Mishnah Hey, Shtei Noshim Shel Shtei Noshim Shelo Bikru. If 2 men have 2 wives, each one has 1 wife, and neither of those women have given birth before, Shelo Bikru, the older Shtei Zecharim, and they gave birth to 2 firstborn male sons. Each of these women give birth to a firstborn son, and the children get mixed up together. However, at this stage, that doesn't matter, because either way, each husband knows that his wife just gave birth to a firstborn son, and therefore, Zenos in Chomish Loim LaKoyein, this man needs to give 5 Sela coins to a Koyein, Zenos in Chomish Loim LaKoyein, and the other husband and father also needs to give 5 Sela coins to a Koyein. What happens if one of the children dies within 30 days? But the fathers, the husbands, had already given the 5 sela coins to a kohen, and now it's emerged that only one of them was obligated. If they both gave their 5 sela coins to the same kohen, and they gave it to him together, and now they both come together to claim back 5 seloim between the two of them, that kohen needs to return to them 5 sela coins, and they'll split it between them. However, if they gave the 5 sela coins to 2 different kohanim, then they are not able to take any of the money back, because each one of those kohanim can push them to the other kohen and claim that it's the other kohen who has the money which needs to be returned to them, and he is holding on to the money which is of the alive firstborn son. Now, what happens if in this case of the 2 men who have 2 different wives who have not given birth yet, and they give birth to 2 different firstborns, but Zohar and Akeva, one of the firstborns was a male, and one of them was a female. Ha'ovis Peturin, both fathers are exempt, because each one can claim that it's possibly my firstborn child, which was the daughter. However, the son is certainly a firstborn. Just the question is, who is his father? And therefore, V'habein, Chaim Liftoisis Atzmai, the son would be obligated to redeem himself upon reaching the age of Bar Mitzvah, because he is certainly a firstborn. If between those 2 women they give birth to 2 daughters and 1 son, or 2 sons and 2 daughters, either way, there is now a possibility that there is no firstborn son at all, and therefore in Kana Kohen Klum, the Kohen would have no claim even on the son, because there is no son who is certainly a firstborn at all over here.